It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Welcome to iHeartRadio Communities, a public affairs special focusing on the biggest issues impacting you this week. Here's Ryan Gorman.
Thanks for joining us here on iHeartRadio Communities. I'm Ryan Gorman, and we have some great conversations lined up for you. In a moment, I'll talk to an expert on coronaviruses and the vaccines that have been created to combat COVID-19. Then I'm going to talk to the CEO of Dress for Success Worldwide to discuss the tremendous work they do for women trying to join the workforce all around the world. First, to get things started, I'm joined by Dr. Barney Graham, chief of the Viral Pathogenesis Laboratory at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases Vaccine Research Center. Dr. Graham has led a team that's been studying coronaviruses for years, long before this novel coronavirus was discovered. Dr. Graham, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us and break all of this down for us. And I want to start with some basics. First of all, can you explain for everyone what a coronavirus is and what made this particular one so unique?
Yes, well, thank you for having me today. Coronaviruses are a large family of viruses that all have similar characteristics. And we've been experienced with coronaviruses as humans for many, many years, hundreds of years. And there are four coronaviruses that circulate every winter season among us. These new coronaviruses that we've had over the last 20 years, the first SARS, the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome coronavirus, and this new one, are relatively newly introduced into the human population. And so we're experiencing a different kind of spread with those because there's no partial immunity within the human population. But they are a common virus. They have a large, what we call zoonotic reservoir. They're in lots of different kinds of animals in the wild, and we're still at risk for other coronaviruses like what we're experiencing now to come out into the human population.
And again, this specific coronavirus, what was it that led to it becoming a pandemic as opposed to some of the others we've dealt with recently that didn't end up having such a widespread impact?
Yes, well, like I mentioned, the first SARS came out of in a similar way, probably originally from bats. It went through probably an intermediate animal host, and then it learned how to spread between humans. And fortunately, that one stopped because it never did adapt well enough to keep spreading in humans. This one, these coronaviruses that already somehow have the ability to bind to a human cell protein to start entering cells, are able to infect humans, and then every once in a while they can adapt well enough to spread human to human. And this one has been particularly adept at selecting and evolving different strains that can spread human to human through respiratory route, through droplets in the air.
I'm joined by Dr. Barney Graham, chief of the Viral Pathogenesis Laboratory at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases Vaccine Research Center. Taking a look at the vaccines, specifically the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, they're mRNA vaccines. What is that and why is it unique?
Yes, mRNA means messenger RNA, ribonucleic acid. It is a fundamental chemical form in our body. Every living cell has lots and lots of mRNA in it that is used every day to make the proteins that make our cells work. So in this case, we're using the mRNA because mRNA is a template. It's the code that allows the protein, the cell, the human cell, to make a protein. So we're using mRNA that's made in a laboratory instead of in your own body. And we're just letting that RNA go into the cell to make the spike protein of the coronavirus. And that's the protein on the surface of the coronavirus that helps it get into cells. If we can show the body just that spike protein ahead of time, the body will make antibodies to that spike protein, and then it will have immunity against a virus if it ever shows up.
Now, mRNA isn't a new discovery, correct? This isn't an approach that just started at the beginning of this pandemic, right?
No, nucleic acid vaccines have been used experimentally and in humans for more than 20 years, and mRNA vaccines have been tested experimentally over the last 10 years at least. So this is a technology that's been in development for quite some time. And so it is not new, but it is new for it to be scaled up because we've never had a licensed mRNA vaccine product. So the process of scaling up the manufacturing, going from just making a few thousand doses to several tens of millions of doses, that is a different process that does require some time, and it's just never been done before. So people haven't really heard about it that much outside of scientific laboratories.
And what would the difference between an mRNA vaccine and, say, what people are generally familiar with, a flu vaccine? What would the difference between the two be?
Most of our licensed vaccines historically have been based on whole live or inactivated viruses. So in those cases, you take the virus, as for influenza, you grow the virus in eggs up to large numbers, then you disrupt the virus and basically kill the virus, and then that killed virus is what is put into people as the vaccine. So that contains some of the proteins from the virus. In this case, we are just delivering mRNA that's about a little over 10% of the total RNA of the virus. And it's just the RNA that provides the code or the template for making the spike protein. So it's just making one protein, the most important protein target for our antibody responses. And so in this case, we are not using the whole virus, we're just using that one protein. And so it's a more elemental, basic way of, it's the simplest way of making this one protein.
I'm joined by Dr. Barney Graham, chief of the Viral Pathogenesis Laboratory at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases Vaccine Research Center. Real quick, not to go off topic, but mRNA is an approach to health issues that's being closely studied far beyond this coronavirus and this current pandemic, correct?
That's correct. This has been worked on intensively for over 20 years just to figure out how to stabilize and preserve the RNA so that it doesn't get degraded so easily. And so that technology of understanding how to preserve the RNA intake has led to the ability to use it in some of these cases. And most of the companies before this event were working mostly on cancer vaccines. It was this event that allowed the scale-up to occur that makes it possible now in the future to maybe use it for other infectious diseases. But one thing that's important to understand, that mRNA is a delivery system. It's a delivery tool. The exact code or template and the exact type of protein that's made and the way that protein folds and the shape that it assumes is also extremely important. So you can go fast and deliver things elegantly with the mRNA, but if you don't deliver the right thing, it's designed in the right way with the right shape, it won't work. So you have to both deliver the right thing and deliver it in a way that is effective with something like mRNA.
Can you explain the differences between the two mRNA vaccines, Pfizer and Moderna, and then the other one Americans are able to get, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and finally, one they may have heard a lot about recently, the AstraZeneca vaccine?
Right. There are three major types of vaccines that are entering the clinical trial system in the United States that are being evaluated, hoping to get them to this emergency use authorization, eventually licensure and approval. One is the mRNA that I just described, and the Pfizer and the Moderna mRNA vaccines are very, very similar. They are both expressing the same protein sequence that was recommended by our lab and the work that we've done in the past. They're both using what we call a modified RNA. This is RNA using the chemical elements that were defined by a group at University of Pennsylvania, Drew Weissman and Caitlin Carrico. And they're both protected or formulated in these lipid nanoparticles. Nanoparticle meaning the size is very, very small. But there's four lipids that basically create a little fat bubble around the RNA to protect it from the elements in the environment. So these are vaccines are very, very similar. The adenovirus vector vaccines that J&J and AstraZeneca use deliver the template for the spike protein in a similar way, but using, instead of the fat bubble, they use a virus shell, basically, from an adenovirus that has, over time, learned how to infect cells. And so they use the virus shell that's been gutted and doesn't have its own machinery left anymore. They just use it as a vehicle to carry it into the cell. So in that sense, both the adenovirus vectors and the mRNA are both using the body as the factory for the protein. So our own human cells are making the protein, the spike protein, to start making an immune response. For the proteins like Novavax that you'll hear more about and Sanofi that's coming along, they are making the protein in a factory. And they then give the protein directly so the body can make an immune response and an antibody response to the protein. So there's really those three major modalities of vaccine being developed in the U.S. There are other efforts around the world, including some that use, like the influenza virus, they grow up the virus, they inactivate the virus, and then they use that as the vaccine. But all the vaccines in the U.S. so far are just based only on the spike protein.
I'm joined by Dr. Barney Graham, chief of the Viral Pathogenesis Laboratory at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases Vaccine Research Center. Earlier, you spoke about how past coronaviruses like SARS were different from COVID-19, and one major difference has been this novel coronavirus's ability to adapt and change. Can you share some insight into the variants we're seeing these days and whether or not that could have an impact on the effectiveness of the vaccines?
Right. Well, the genome or the genetic material of this virus is RNA. And RNA viruses in general, RNA viruses like influenza and others, when they make new viruses, they often make mistakes as they copy their genome from one virus to another. And that is built into their life cycle. Because every time a mistake is made or a new change is made, it gives this virus population a chance to select a new virus. So every time this virus has a chance to grow in a new person or to grow long for a long time in a person, each cycle that it goes from cell to cell, it has a new chance to select minor variants that would give it a better chance of infecting the next cell or transmitting to another person so that it can maintain its own life cycle. So a lot of the changes that have occurred so far in this virus as it's gone around the world are mutations in the spike protein and other proteins of the virus that allow it to grow better in human cells. And so it's a natural process that the virus has. So it's not something that was unexpected. And in some of the most difficult variants that have occurred so far, like the one from the Republic of South Africa that people call 351, That spike protein has developed 9 amino acid changes out of the 1,208 amino acids that are on the outside part of the spike. And so that's not very many changes. That's not very many changes to having that large of protein, but some of those changes do affect some of the ways antibody can recognize the surface of that protein. So it does change. So I think.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The current vaccines that we have are still going to provide a lot of protection against severe disease. And vaccines based on these new sequences are already in testing, already in clinical testing, so that if we do need to move to something else, fortunately, these new technologies make it easy for us to change relatively quickly.
Dr. Barney Graham, chief of the Viral Pathogenesis Laboratory at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases Vaccine Research Center, with a lot of insight into the coronavirus itself that we're dealing with and also the vaccines that have been developed to combat it. Dr. Graham, thank you so much for the time and expertise. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
All right. And finally, I'm joined by Joy Gordon, CEO of Dress for Success Worldwide, which you can find out more about at dressforsuccess.org. She's here to talk about the great work this organization is doing. Joy, thanks so much for taking a few minutes to talk to us. And let's start with the background on how this organization was first started.
I'd like to say that it was started by some very smart women, one of which is our founder, who 25 years ago, when she was in law school, she got an inheritance from her great-grandfather. And she took the $5,000 that she got and met with two nuns in Harlem, New York, and talked about what she could do to invest in the lives of other women. It was those two nuns in Harlem that said, our biggest challenge is that women are coming out of prison, they're expected to find jobs, yet they have nothing to wear. Mm-hmm. So what if there was an organization that gave clothing to women who needed it? And that was the birth of Dress for Success now almost 25 years ago in New York City. And to see this organization over a span of 2 decades grow beyond the basement of that church, today it has 150 offices in 25 countries around the world. And we have moved the needle beyond the clothing to make sure women really have the tools they need to succeed in work and in life.
And let's talk about that expansion. Obviously, Dressing for Success is still part of your mission, but talk about how the organization has grown and some of the other areas that you're focused on now, too.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I'm very grateful that we grew beyond the suit, because what COVID-19 showed us is that we couldn't bring women into our physical locations. And so it was really the operations of the organization beyond the suiting that was focused on professional development and giving women the resources, whether that's financial literacy or health and wellness or leadership development or coaching or mentoring. Those aspects of our organization really have been magnified and been put to work in this she session, as we like to call it, at Dress for Success. Women need the support of other people so that they can get through the crisis and over the hurdle, because women overall are very resilient. And so Dress for Success really was not able to, you know, go into the closets and give women clothing at this time, but really got focused on making sure women understood that they had a community at Dress for Success, and we were not going to let them down. We were not going to shut our doors. Our physical doors might have been closed, but the doors of Dress for Success remained open over the last year.
And beyond the impact the pandemic has had in that particular way, what you just mentioned, how else has the pandemic impacted the work that you do at Dress for Success worldwide. So many organizations I talk to, the past year has really hurt them financially. It's limited the scope of the work that they're typically able to do. What about with your organization?
Yeah, well, you know, as it relates to our women, the food lines are long now and the job boards are short. So yeah. Our women were disproportionately affected by job losses or furloughs. And then for some women, because of childcare and elder care, they had to make the tough decision to stop and step out of the workforce to care for others. So right now, we're just keeping our women focused and encouraging them to be part of the community, join our online networks, and use this time to upskill, so that when you re-enter into the job market, you're a step above the next. And that's what we're doing. But as all businesses, and nonprofit sector is a part of the larger structure of businesses, we all have been impacted by what has happened over the last year. And these have been trying times. You know, nonprofits rely heavily upon fundraising and donors and volunteers and supporters. And so we had to really figure out how to continue to survive and thrive in what has been a really difficult year for many of us.
I'm joined right now by Joy Gordon, CEO of Dress for Success Worldwide. You can find out more at dressforsuccess.org. I was reading recently the amount of women who have dropped out of the workforce, the labor force participation rate among women, really just stark numbers, a huge shift because of the pandemic. What are you hearing from women who you talk to about the workforce situation and about coming out of this pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, people are concerned, and rightfully so. You know, the job market is very soft right now. I definitely know that it will rebound once vaccinations are more the norm and not under consideration for many. I think the job market will loosen up and jobs will be available. Our clients were hit the hardest. They, in many cases, were sitting on the front line. They were working in the hospitality sector, food and beverage. And those, we know those jobs, there were significant losses in it. So that's why we're making sure that she stays focused on what are some of the ways that she can upskill herself so that when she gets back into the workforce, that there'll be different jobs available to her because she's put in the work now. And that's the things that we're doing at Dress for Success, giving her the opportunity she needs to succeed.
And looking at some of the women that you serve, we're talking about women who, going into this pandemic, were probably the types of individuals in this country who really didn't have a lot of room for a big financial shift or to be upended. You have nearly 50% of the women that you serve living below the poverty line, 42% single mothers. So can you just expand on that, the women, the types of women that you serve, and really the impact that working with your organization has had on them?
Yeah, and you know what? What I'm most proud of is that although that might be the demographic of the women we serve, it's the trainings and the professional development tools that we give the women, really without even recognizing that there was going to be some tragedy down the road that would impact their lives in the way it has over the last year. We gave them the financial tools that they needed to ready themselves and create, you know, emergency funds and to put money away and be prepared and think long-term. And so it was kind of the trainings that we afforded to the women of Dress for Success that have helped them get kind of through this very difficult time. And they recognize that there's a big community of Dress for Success. There's women like them all over the world. And so they've come online to our trainings and our webinars and really continue to learn through the crisis, through the storm. They're getting through it. And that's the beauty of having a global organization around the world with just one thread that has woven all the women together.
And looking at some of the responses that you've received from different affiliates all across the country and all across the world, this was a unique situation in that it impacted everybody. And it seemed to have really impacted a lot of your clients too. 77% of your affiliates reporting that they have clients that have been laid off. So all across the country, all different areas, it really hasn't mattered. There's been a huge impact from this pandemic, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, this is the kind of the one kind of tragedy where everybody has been impacted. Large businesses, small businesses, nonprofits, women of all demographics. It's a true ripple effect. It's what's happened. And why, quite frankly, it is the reason why in Women's History Month, we're really celebrating those women who've broken through glass ceilings, shattered them, quite frankly, and have made room for other women to, you know, succeed. And so we're spending the month of March with a campaign called Your Hour, Her Power, so that we can really take a look at those women who have opened the doors for other women in corporate America and really use the month of March as an opportunity not to reflect on the women of the past, but the women of the present. And that's what our Your Hour, Her Power campaign has really been about.
I'm joined by Joy Gordon, CEO of Dress for Success Worldwide. You can find out more at dressforsuccess.org. And when you go there, you can find out more about the 31 Days of Women in Power, Your Hour, Her Power. Can you tell us about some of the women who are honorees in this initiative?
Yeah, well, listen, I recommend everyone to go to yourhourherpower.org. If you want a masterclass in women's leadership, then you need to listen to all 31 women tell you about how and what caused them to get to where they are today. For many, it wasn't without hiccups. It wasn't without bumps in the road. Women saw failure, but women have ascended to positions of success. And this is a true masterclass in women who not only have gotten to the positions that they've gotten to, but they haven't forgotten to lean back and lift another woman up with them along the way. And so there's a woman, Ramona Hood, she's the CEO of a division over at FedEx. She started her career at FedEx as a receptionist. Today, she's the CEO of one of their business units.
Wow.
That's success. The woman we're celebrating today, Corinne, a native of France, now is running one of the largest staffing agencies in the world, the CEO of Adecco Americas and Pontoon. And she's extraordinary and a big champion of all things women and making sure that women have a place in the workforce. And so every single day, there's another woman who tells her story and takes you on her journey. And I've learned more in 23 days than I probably learned in 23 years. Every morning getting up and listening to my master class of women in leadership at yourhourherpower.org. And it really reminds you that all of us have an opportunity to help another woman. And so on that website, we're asking everyone, donate 1 hour of your pay to help another woman on her way. There's a way that we all can be involved. You don't have to be a woman to care about women. All of us have the ability to donate something to make a difference for those women who need to get back into the workforce. We want to be that organization on the front line of the recovery.
We've certainly talked about some of the financial challenges and some of the different ways in that area that your organization helps women in the workforce. Has the Me Too movement impacted the work that you do at all? Has that been incorporated into any of what you do?
Well, I think we certainly are talking to women about, you know, the workplace.
Yeah.
And the expectations they have when they work. One, how to protect themselves, but how to, you know, how to understand communications in the workplace as it relates to your boss, whether your boss is a woman or a man. And so it's a lot of teachings and learnings. And it's really the responsibility of organizations like ours, which are focused on workforce development, to make sure that women are armed with the tools they need to succeed. And we want to make sure that when she gets in the workplace, that she has a positive reaction to the world of work.
And you mentioned a moment ago one way that some women can help out other women in this initiative, in this mission that you're undertaking at Dress for Success. What are some other ways, especially those who have seen a lot of success, if they want to pay it forward, what are some different ways that they can do that?
Absolutely. So what people know us best for is that we're the organization that you donate your nearly new business attire to. So everyone has, at least every woman I know has, closets full of clothing that either they're not wearing right now, And can be repurposed and given to someone else. And so maybe it's just using some time over a weekend, over a month, to go through your closet and choose items that you wore and maybe you felt amazing in, and give that item to someone else so she can feel the same way you felt. And so it's the donation of clothing, but it's also the donation of time. You know, nonprofit organizations, our biggest asset is our volunteers. And so maybe there's an opportunity for you to get involved with a local Dress for Success or just a local nonprofit. We all need volunteers. And of course, if there's any kind of room at the table, nonprofit organizations have really been hit hard by the pandemic, and many of us are just struggling to stay afloat. So any kind of donation of funds is greatly appreciated in the nonprofit sector.
And of course, you can find out more at dressforsuccess.org. Again, dressforsuccess.org. Joy Gordon, CEO of Dress for Success Worldwide. Joy, thank you so much for the time and for the great work your organization is doing. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Ryan. Thanks for caring.
All right, and that'll do it for this edition of iHeartRadio Communities. As we wrap things up, I want to offer a big thanks to all of our guests and, of course, to all of you for listening. We'll be back same time, same place next weekend. Stay safe.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.